2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, and happy to have you on board to the podcast once again. Hope you're having a fantastic week. It's finally a game week for BYU football. It felt like it's been far too long, so happy to have football back on the docket, and we got a lot of football to discuss today on this episode of the Cougar Tracks Podcast, which is, of course, is always powered by KSLSports.com, and make sure to go to KSLSports.com for the latest in BYU. Also, subscribe to the KSL Sports app if you haven't done so already, so you can stay abreast of all the news in the world of BYU athletics. Make sure to subscribe and leave a rating and a review for this podcast, preferably 5 stars if you could. It helps out the show a ton, and you can get this podcast on Apple, Google Play, and now Spotify. Spotify should be good to go, so For those of you who have reached out to me and said Spotify is an issue, should be good to go. Give me some feedback at Mitch_Harper if you have any additional problems. So today on the podcast, we're going to be discussing, of course, BYU's quarterback situation, Jaren Hall or Baylor Romney. Who's it going to be and why? The latest from Provo as BYU gets ready for the Utah State Aggies. We'll go a little bit into that game between the Cougars and the Aggies, the battle for the old wagon wheel, and BYU's got some interesting position battles taking place on their depth chart. They're diving into their depth a little bit. They got a huge win because of that depth. Can they get it another time against another rival, the Utah State Aggies? So we'll hit on that, and then also some BYU basketball news. Went to practice, and I'll share some of my observations and some of the news from BYU basketball as next week they're going to get things fired up at the Marriott Center as they take on Cal State Fullerton. And then also, too, the NCAA. Some huge news coming from the NCAA regarding likeness and things like that, and how does it impact BYU? So, again, let's get to all of this. It's going to be a great show. Sit back, enjoy, put the AirPods, whatever you got, throw them in. Or if you're listening into the car, however you're listening, thanks for doing it, and should be a great show as always. But again, the big story out of BYU this week is that quarterback position. And I got to say, you know, last week I said I'd like to see Baylor Romney, but the more I'm hearing from this quarterback debate and the more I hear from down in Provo and what's taking place, to me, it's probably going to be Jaren Hall. All indications kind of feel like it's trending towards Jaren Hall. Because I'll be honest, if it was Baylor Romney, wouldn't you just say if you're Kalani Sitake, it's going to be Baylor Romney again and you're going to ride the hot hand? I mean, really, think about it. If it was Baylor, wouldn't you just come out with it already and make it known he's the guy? The fact that it's a debate once again, coming off a huge win, I think it kind of teases that Jaren Hall is probably the guy. And the thing is, BYU's in a great spot here because I don't think they can go wrong with this pick. I really don't. Jaren Hall or Baylor Romney, BYU's going to be fine. I mean, Cougar fans, don't you feel good about what you saw from the quarterbacks the last two games? I know USF was a loss, and that was a bad loss, a terrible loss. But Jaren Hall looked good. He had about 153, 83 on the ground. He looked good. Passing the football at times, he needed to get it off a little bit quicker. But hey, first start, mistakes are going to happen. And Baylor Romney, he looked great passing the football. I thought he looked a little bit better than Jaron passing the football. But again, both of these guys can make big plays happen, and those explosive plays can come for this BYU team. So I think Kalani Sitake, Aaron Roderick, Jeff Grimes, I think they're in a win-win situation. Whoever they pick, I think it's going to be a winning proposition. But the feeling I get is that it's going to be Jaron Hall. And I think that might be the right move. Because if there was no bye last week, I think there could have been a bigger case for Baylor Romney. Again, I was saying go with Baylor. Go with that guy because you want to have the continuity, the consistency. I made that case. And I still, part of me believes that. Part of me does. But I see the case for Jaron Hall. A couple weeks ago, you heard me on the show saying you're going to be pleasantly surprised with how good Jaron Hall is. And I believe that. I think also, too, what plays a big part into this is how many reps have been dedicated to Jaron Hall. But before we get into all that, I want to get out to Kalani Sitake. This was Kalani discussing the quarterback situation as they prepare for the Utah State Aggies.
Looking promising for us. I mean, with Jaron, I think Jaron will be okay to play this week. We'll see. And then, Zach's progressing really well and doubtful for this game, but we'll see how it's a day-to-day thing for him. And then once he gets able to throw the ball, we'll kind of have to wait and see how he progresses. But he's ahead of schedule when it comes to his injury.
Interesting stuff there from Kalani in regards to Zach Wilson. Zach is currently ahead of schedule. That's a positive thing. I had an article up on that on KSLSports.com. You know, when the news came out that he was having surgery, I reported that the Liberty game was the target date for his return. That's what he was maybe ideally hoping to return for that game. That was kind of the earliest best case scenario date. And that could happen. The fact that he's maybe on the injury report as doubtful and he's ahead of schedule, there's hope that he could be back for that Liberty game. What is Kalani, though, looking for this week in practice between Jaron and Baylor in regards to ultimately deciding who's going to be that starting quarterback?
I think just competition and, you know, seeing who gives us the best opportunity to win. That's what it comes down to, and we'll be practicing, and they'll get turns with the ones and twos and see who can make their group function better.
One of the interesting things here that's at play is Jaron Hall coming out of the concussion protocol. Dick Harmon from the Deseret News reported that Jaron exited the concussion protocol this past Thursday and has been cleared to play. You know, what's Kalani Sitake's philosophy on a guy potentially losing the starter role due to an injury? Because again, Jaron Hall doesn't... There's not a debate here if Jaron Hall never goes into the protocol. They're just not. There's no debate. Jaron Hall would be the guy. So what's Kalani Sitake's philosophy on a guy potentially losing his job due to an injury?
Well, I mean, it all depends on when he comes back. When an injured player returns, are they 100%? And the only way to tell is what if there's some competition. I don't think you could forget about what they've done in the past and how good they were when they won the spot, but... You also can't discount the fact that other players have gotten better, too. So I think the only way to do it is compete, and we'll see the best. We'll play the best, and it doesn't really matter from week one and, you know, throughout the season. If someone beats somebody out, we'll make the change. And that's with every position.
And that's head coach Kalani Sitake discussing the quarterback situation. And as I was mentioning earlier, the number of reps that have been dedicated to Jaron Hall dating back to January, the spring, the offseason, the fall camp, it's significant. The first team reps is a large number that Jaron Hall has had. Compare that to Baylor Romney, which pretty much only has, what, 1 week and a half of first team reps? That's it. I don't think you throw away the number, the volume of reps Jaron Hall has consumed in practice suddenly for Baylor Romney. I mean, again, I think Baylor's performance was so impressive that there's a strong case to make him the starting quarterback because this staff is in win now mode. The win now mode, they got to deliver results now. They can't wait. They got to continue performing. No contract extension has been delivered yet, even though I think Kalani Sitake deserves one. I think Kalani Sitake is 100% the right guy for this job. but still, no extension has been doled out. So you have to be in win-now mode. And that's why I thought, go with the proven deal with Baylor Romney. I feel Baylor played a little bit better. The one thing that makes it kind of interesting between the two is that clearly there was different play calling between the USF game and the Boise State game. Jaren Hall in that Boise State game, or Jaren Hall with the play calling from the Boise game, I think he could perform really well, much better than he did against USF. That's just my opinion, and that's why I feel Jaren Hall is probably going to be that starting quarterback this week. I thought Jaren Hall was going to be the starter against Boise if he had been cleared out of the protocol. I think this coaching staff is really high on Jaren. The delicate situation here, too, that's interesting is the transfer portal element, because someone is going to be upset, even more so than maybe they could have been in the past. I don't know. I don't know their emotions on a day-to-day basis about how they feel with the depth chart and whatnot. But someone's going to be a little bit upset, because once you get a little bit of a taste of success, you feel like you should be on that field more. And if you're Baylor Romney and he doesn't end up getting this job, does that kind of sour him on the program? I don't know. You know, it's a possibility. And if Baylor Romney was to get the start, Jaren Hall, does he go, man, all those reps I got in the offseason, now I'm just done because of I got an injury to my head, to a concussion? It's a tough situation. And that's why it's a delicate thing, and it's probably the safer move to go with Jaren Hall. That's why I feel Jaren Hall, again, is going to be that starting quarterback for BYU on Saturday against Utah State. BYU and the Aggies kicks off at 8 o'clock. Pre-game network coverage begins at 6 o'clock. Cougar Sports Saturday will kick things off at noon, go up to 3 o'clock on your legacy home of the BYU Cougars, KSL News Radio. So there's going to be a lot of fun things going on. And one of the fun things that was taking place earlier in the week was Dion Gawolaku. Now, Dion was asked, what does he expect from the atmosphere in Logan? And I'm sure you've already heard it, but let's play it again for you. For those of you who have missed it, this was Dion's response.
Cowbells. I don't know. I actually seen something on Twitter that's like Utah State's going to come out playing like they're protecting their dairy farm. So that's how I feel like they're going to come out, ready to protect their dairy farm, and we're going to take over. So that's the plan.
I love that, man. I love the confidence. You know what? Throw some shots. I mean, he did say, he prefaced it by saying he saw it on Twitter, so it wasn't like he was coming with his own idea, but hey, he brought it up. He brought it up to the media. It's fun. It's fun banter. This BYU-Utah State rivalry, it's now a rivalry. And that's kind of a little bit discouraging because, honestly, I don't feel like Utah State should be on the same playing field as BYU at all. To me, it should be a yearly deal where BYU's beating down the Aggies. But, hey, credit to the Aggies. Credit to Gary Anderson. Credit to Matt Wells, the previous head coach who's now at Texas Tech. They have maximized their resources. They've got great facilities up there considering their limitations on budget. Again, they're maximizing their resources, and they become a consistent player in terms of success in their conference and regionally. Utah State's got an identity of having good offenses. I mean, wouldn't you kill to have a great offense like Utah State's experience the last couple of seasons? I know I would like to see that from BYU. I would like to see some great offensive play. Utah State, their three losses have come against teams that have posted a total record of 21-3. They're not losing to some scrubs. They lost to LSU. They've lost to good teams, Air Force. The Aggies are going to be a tough out for BYU, and that's why the Aggies currently are a favorite over BYU. But I like Dion's confidence. Why not be confident? And hey, he's a senior. It's his last time going up there. He's willing to throw some smack. He's not going to be that guy that goes throwing smack in the post game where it's like, oh, you're so poo-poo. Never going to be coming back to the venue ever again. Now I'll throw my jabs on the way out. Come on. You know, Dion's willing. He's willing. He's confident enough in his abilities. He's going to back up the talk. He's going to do his 111th and then some. Very excited to see what Dion Gawolaku can do at that safety spot. And he, with the new blitz packages, he looked great two weeks ago against Boise State. And his position, of course, is not up for debate. He's a starter. He's locked in. He's going to be starting alongside with Austin Lee. Dion at strong safety, Austin Lee at the free safety spot. And as we kind of look at this BYU depth chart heading into Utah State, some interesting things to keep an eye on. Obviously, quarterback's going to be the big story. We went into that. It's Jaren Hall, Baylor Romney. And then Joe Critchlow. I mean, again, Jaron Hall and Baylor Romney, there's an or by them, but my assumption is that Jaron Hall is going to be number one. Joe Critchlow, of course, number three. After Critchlow, number four is Rhett Riley. And then after that, if they had to dig into fifth string, it would be Talon Shumway. So that's choke on that. That's a little nugget of info there for you in regards to BYU. So if they have to go to Rhett Riley, oh boy, all bets are off right there. All bets are off. Remember Jackson Brown? Three zip? That's kind of what it would be right there. But anyway, running back position also has got some position battles. BYU digging into their depth there. The loss of Tyson Williams was a big blow, but BYU's ground attack showed a lot of life in that win over the Broncos, and the three guys jockeying for that starting role at running back, Emmanuel Asupka, Lopini Katoa, and Sione Finau. Now, Emmanuel Asupka, I think, has shown flashes. He showed really well against Toledo, kind of a non-factor against USF, and then was injured against Boise State. Lopini Katoa has done a nice job. He did really good against USF, and then Sione Finau did a great job against Boise. I think all three of these running backs are solid. They're nowhere near a Tyson by any means. Tyson was an NFL running back. I believe that wholeheartedly. But I think, you know, Sione Finau, Lopini, Asupka, I would say right now, my personal preference, I'd go Finau, Katoa, Asupka. That's just kind of how I see it. That's just kind of how the pecking order I would look at that right now. Offensive line, the right side of the line is going to have not really shakeup per se, but injuries still are a role in that spot that's caused some shakeups, if you will. Tristan Hodge, still expected to be out. The timetable when he's going to return is not known, so Clark Barrington will likely get his third consecutive start. And Barrington's done a solid job, not too bad. Right tackle, if Keanu Saliapaga doesn't go, and he's possible to play this week, he could be giving it a go this weekend against the Aggies. Blake Freeland will step in once again. The true freshman out of Harriman will get the start at right tackle. Because Freeland ended up beating out Harris LaChance, who recently got married last week, he goes to the backup left tackle spot behind Brady Christensen. Left guard, Chandon Herring. Behind him is Jotu Kuafu because Kiefer Longson is injured. And then center, James Empey and Caden Haas. That remains the same. Notable thing on Caden Haas, he's now above 300 pounds. Kind of interesting there. He is a tank. 6'2", though, he's listed. That's generous. He might be 5'11". He is a small dude, but a promising center in the future for BYU. Defensive side notes on the depth chart. Defensive end, Zach Daw moved down. He's second string right now, but now he's got an or next to his name for that second string spot along with Alden Tofa. That's good news for Alden Tofa because I'll tell you, BYU fans have been waiting for Alden Tofa to show some sort of signs that he can be a player, that he can be a factor. Tofa's got it in him. I remember his career at Western and High. He was great. He had Oregon. He had UCLA. He had all the Pac-12 usuals recruiting him, and he picked BYU. It was the Kalani effect cometh with Alden Tofa signing with BYU. Now he's jockeying for that second-string spot at the defensive end spot with Zach Daw. And I got to say, Zach Daw, I thought he was going to be one of the top players in this BYU team this season. I think he's still got the potential. I like me some Zach Daw. He's a heck of a football player, but hasn't had the impact that I thought he would have. I'll admit, going into the season, I was like, Zach Daw is going to be a monster, just hasn't played out at all. And that's unfortunate. Outside edge spot, Trajan Peely now moved down to the third string behind Devin Kafusi, Uriah Leotawa. And then inside linebacker, Kavika Fanua, he's going to be available to play this week. So Tyler Algier, who stepped in for Kavika, who got 9 tackles in replace of Kavika. Kavika's going to be probably getting the start, and he'll be available this week. And then at the cornerback position, Shimon Willis and Isaiah Heron likely going to get the nods there. But Chris Wilcox, he's practicing this week. He's been kind of warming up, getting ready for full-fledged practices. So now he's going through the practices full bore now. And Chris Wilcox, when he's healthy, potential NFL guy. I mean, that's from the words of Ed Lamb. He feels confident that Chris Wilcox is an NFL guy. And honestly, Chris Wilcox, when he was healthy last year after that Arizona game, when he had those multiple pass interference calls, Wilcox was dominant. He was a lockdown, shutdown corner. No one was getting by Chris Wilcox. He's got a ton of speed, a ton of athleticism. He could potentially, I don't think he's going to play this week, but at some point we are going to see Chris Wilcox, and I would expect he redshirts this year. And then Troy Warner, wouldn't be surprised if we see him play this weekend in Logan, maybe some nickel package, maybe some safety. He has been practicing, seen him there, and good to see Troy Warner back at practice. But let's take a timeout, though. On the other side, we'll get to some BYU basketball news. I was down at practice, and I'll share some observations and thoughts on the BYU basketball team and the huge addition of Alex Barcelo to this BYU basketball program. This is the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
In the building.
Well, it actually made our average height smaller. It changed a lot. He gives us a real physical presence in the backcourt, which is a huge gift. He's a really special young man. I mean, he's an extraordinary young man. He's a terrific basketball player, and he brings a physicality to the game that we desperately need, and so he's a huge addition for us, and we're super grateful.
Welcome on back, Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. That's BYU head basketball coach Mark Pope on the new edition of Alex Barcelo. He's been part of the roster, but now he's cleared to play this season for the BYU basketball team, and what a huge get for this program to get that NCAA waiver and have something from the NCAA work in their favor for once, because we all know BYU and the NCAA just hasn't been a match at all that hasn't went their way. And getting Alex Barcelo, I think, is huge for this BYU basketball team. Honestly, I think Barcelo changes my complete outlook on this team. Now, Pope was kind of poking and having a little bit of fun saying, hey, the average height now of the team goes down. You know what? I think Barcelo, though, I know it's not the necessary pressing need to get another guard, but you're just talking about athletes, the best players, the best talent. Barcelo is one of the best players in this program. I think by season's end, we're talking about Alex Barcelo maybe as the second best player on this BYU basketball team. I think he's got that potential. I think next, right after Yoeli Childs, I think Alex Barcelo could be the second best player on this team. He's got that ability, man. His ball handles, his ability to find open guys and make the key pass. And I mean, he had a great pass in practice where he had a behind the back pass. He kind of threw it at neck level behind his neck, threw it to Connor Harding for a dunk. He's just got kind of these instincts and these intangibles that, you know, maybe the stat lines at Arizona where he's averaging 2 points a game and 9 minutes, you're thinking, how big of an addition is this guy? We're talking about the number two recruit in the state of Arizona, a state that plays some pretty good ball. And the only guy that was ranked ahead of him was DeAndre Ayton. That's some pretty good company to be among. Barcelo's got game, and this is a huge get for this BYU basketball team. And watching him, it was a lot of fun to see him in practice today. And speaking of practice today, I was there on Tuesday watching the team go through practices as they continue preparations for their exhibition game against UT Tyler on Friday, and then the season opener less than a week now from tip-off against Cal State Fullerton. Some news and notes, though, from practice that I saw. Some of the lineups that I was seeing take place in some of the team portions where they went 5-on-5 full court, TJ Haas at the point, Alex Barcelo at the 2, Jake Toulson at the 3, Dalton Nixon at the 4, Colby Lee at the 5. That was one lineup that I saw. Another lineup that I saw, Dalton Nixon at the 5, Connor Harding at the 4, Haas at point, Trevin Nell at the 2, and Toulson at the 3. Another lineup, Blaze Neal at point, Barcelo at the shooting guard, Trevin Nell at small forward, Harding at 4, Colby Lee at the 5. So, kind of a mix and match, but, you know, it's interesting. Guys like Taylor Mon, a walk-on, who you're probably thinking, who's that? He's going to have to be a backup center for this BYU basketball team. It's kind of crazy, really, how that kind of works itself out. This team is thin right now without Yoeli Childs for those first 9 games. And during the practice, Yoeli was there. He was there at practice. He was watching and observing. But I almost feel like Pope is starting to kind of get hunkered down and have this team get used to life potentially, or not potentially, without Yoeli Childs for these first 9 games. Because now training camp's pretty much in the rearview mirror. It's now hunkering down for games, and it's go time. And those first 9 games is going to be a gauntlet for this BYU team to navigate without Yoeli Childs. It's a dang shame that this guy isn't playing, because he's going to have a huge year, and he would have had an even bigger year if he could play in those first 9 games. But Barcelo can help alleviate the loss of Yoeli in terms of the score production. Rebounding, he's not going to help alleviate that loss at all. BYU is a rebounding team. Man, that's going to be tough. This team rebounding the basketball, they are going to have some legitimate issues. And that's one of the big concerns I have for them against the San Diego State, even against the Cal State Fullerton, that's got some size in the front court. So, but it was fun to watch this team play. Some other notes, it was interesting in warmups when Eric Shork was having the team kind of go through warmups and they were stretching and all that. They did this like balancing thing, and Mark Pope pulled out a football and he was throwing the football around with Coach Burgess, Coach Robinson, Coach Feger. He even threw it to Greg Rebell at the media table. But his guys were doing like this balancing thing on this like block, and they'd have one foot off the ground and they were balancing on the other foot. And while they were balancing, Pope would throw the football to these guys to see if they can catch and maintain their balance. It was kind of fun to see. Some of the guys, they couldn't maintain their balance or they dropped the football. Some of them did. Connor Harding, he had a great grab. And then Richard Harward, he had a really nice catch. So Richard Harward, if he can get an NCAA waiver, that would be a huge boom for this BYU team, because he's a solid guy that's willing to just kind of do whatever it takes that the team needs. Harward would be a nice addition, but all indications are that he's probably not going to get that waiver, just from the intel I gather, and there's not much of an optimistic outlook. I mean, who knows? Anything could happen, but not expecting Richard Harward to get that waiver. Some other news and notes on the basketball front. Zach Selyus, he was at practice. I did not see him go through team portions. He was in some shooting drills, though, but still progress towards him, you know, potentially playing for that opener next Tuesday. And then Jesse Wade, didn't see him go through team drills. Wade is still battling a knee injury that he was kind of going through, that he suffered last January. So it's just kind of some pain, some irritating pain that's kind of bothering him. But that knee has been an issue for him, and how much that impacts his availability is a big question. So look for guys like Blaze Neal, guys that are walk-ons. They're going to have a role on this team, and it's kind of crazy to think that's the case, but injuries to Baxter, injuries to Jesse Wade, injuries to Zach Selyus, it's kind of just caused an issue with the available bodies they got now. And then paired with the Yoeli Childs suspension, it's a very thin roster, and I'm fascinated to see what type of lineups they trot out on opening night. One thing that was kind of fun to see, too, at practice was seeing Dave Rose, who, again, last week, he suffered a heart attack just a week ago, and he looked great. He was in good spirits. He was with his wife, Cheryl. They kind of arrived, I think it was around about 30 minutes or so before the end of practice, 30 or 40 minutes. They were there. It was good to see Coach Rose there. Yoeli Childs came up to him, gave him a big hug. Jesse Wade did. Robert Ramos, the trainer, all the people that, that Coach Rose has worked for, and of course Mark Pope as well. And special moment there, seeing Dave Rose at practice. And this was Mark Pope on seeing Dave Rose at practice and what he means to the program.
It's really awesome. So, you know, of course we were in contact with Coach, you know, as soon as everything happened, kind of through Cheryl and Garrett, and the guys were really eager to kind of see him and reach out to him, and so they sent him a bunch of videos that were more or less entertaining, and then, you know, kind of we're kind of just trying to patiently wait for him to feel better, and then Coach was like, "Hey, I want to come," and so it's such a lift for the guys. I mean, they're so excited to see him. And I know it's got to be healing for him to walk in this building, just in the sense of, you know, if there's anyone in the world, he legitimately is the world's expert on the energy in this building, right? And what he's personally lived through in this building. And I think all of us as players and coaches have a feel for what it feels like to walk in this building, and it's got to be multiplied by 1,000 for him. So I was really happy that this is how it worked out, that he actually could come here. And he looks great, man. He looks like he could get up here and play a little bit. So it was awesome.
Happy to see Coach Rose there at practice. That was a really cool moment there. But that's, again, your BYU basketball update. Cougars going to be tipping off against UT Tyler on Friday, November 1st. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6, and that will be heard on KSL News Radio. And then the season opener on Tuesday against Cal State Fullerton, that one tips off at 7 o'clock as well, and you'll hear that on your legacy home of the BYU Cougars, KSL News Radio. Before we get out, last thing from me, last thing I want to hit on today's show is the NCAA. No, it's not another suspension for BYU basketball. There's some actual positive buzz happening with the NCAA that it could have a positive, I think, impact on BYU athletics. The NCAA board voted on Tuesday to allow athletes to profit from their names, images, and likenesses, but much work still needs to be done to determine how that will work within NCAA rules. That according to the Associated Press. Now, this is a big story. I mean, obviously, California kicked this thing into high gear, saying that it's going to be against the law for players to not be able to make money off their names and image and likeness starting in 2023. But the NCAA wants to avoid any sort of lawsuits from these individual states. The state of Ohio has got that passed into law as well. Other states are taking action to make this happen. So the NCAA wants to avoid any sort of lawsuits. That's why they're doing it. They're not thinking of the student athlete. They just want to avoid getting reamed by these states and having to pay out, you know, arm and a leg for these lawsuits. So that's why they're doing this. Now, what is this going to look like? Because as we know with the NCAA, a press release can sound good. And you might think, oh, the NCAA is making actual progress for once. But usually it falls flat. So there's still much more work to be done. But it seems like all indications are that there's going to be a lot of progress on this front to where we get to a point maybe in 2021 where student athletes are making money off their names, images, and likenesses. And I got to say, when Kalani Sitake once said, I think it was last year in 2018 at Media Day, he said BYU's got a Power 5 fan base, and that is going to be a powerful thing for BYU in the future. And I think that shows itself very well today. When you're talking about the NCAA passing potentially players being able to make money off their image and likeness and names, it's going to come down to like fans, the support of programs, big-time fan bases are going to help this cause. I think it's a great thing that, say, a Zach Wilson or a Jaron Hall or a Baylor Romney, if they wanted to go do a autograph session at some local sports apparel store, they could go do that and make some money on the side. You know, I don't think this is going to be a huge issue like many people think. Like, at the end of the day, you're probably not going to see Peyton Wilgar, not to, you know, poke at Peyton Wilgar, but just saying, he's not a household name. College students still have some sort of, you know, limit in terms of their broad appeal, you know. But for the quarterbacks, for running backs, man, you're going to make some money, man. BYU fans, I mean, you guys are passionate. We all know that. BYU fans are as passionate as they come. They're going to make some money. And, hey, why not, man? And the thing is, it's great is that bring back the NCAA football game from EA Sports, get these guys paid, get them some money through that, and get that video game back off the ground, I got to see this thing happen. You know, I'm willing to pay $100 per game to get that thing back. I just think this is going to be a really positive thing for BYU. I really do. And that I think it's going to be an overall positive in college athletics. I think, you know, when, what was it, the cost of attendance came about, everyone was like, oh man, how are people going to keep up with cost of attendance? Now, does anyone even talk about that? BYU got ahead of the curve and they upped the ante on their cost of attendance to keep up with the Joneses. And that was a positive thing for BYU. But I remember when cost of attendance became a big storyline, it was like, oh man, this is going to change everything with the sport. And really, it's been much ado about nothing. No recruit has said, I'm going to X school because of cost of attendance. It's been a moot point. I think this could have maybe a little bit bigger role, but at the end of the day, it's going to be, you know, you're still going to see the Bamas, you're still going to see the Ohio States get their recruits, but one thing that could help BYU is, again, in like that transfer portal, you get a guy like Tyson Williams, you can't tell me Tyson Williams would have been making a ton of money off his name, image, and likeness. Cougar fans love Tyson Williams. And if you're Tyson, or you're a guy that goes into the portal and you're looking for a new landing spot and you see what that guy pulled down with no connections to BYU, you're going to probably be very inclined to maybe go check out BYU. And oh, by the way, you play a good schedule and they'll give you an opportunity to maybe get to the NFL because they'll feature you in a way to showcase your talents that your previous school didn't have. So I think that's going to be a big thing for BYU. But a quarterback at BYU, man, you're going to make some money. You're going to make some cash, and hey, rightfully so. There's a lot of demand. There's a lot of eyeballs. There's a lot of attention. Get paid, man. Get some money to go back your way. And I think it's only fair because when you're talking about NCAA athletics and the type of money they're pulling down, it's no longer just millions. It's no longer even just hundreds of millions. We're talking about billions of dollars, not by the individual schools, but the whole organization. I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a terrible thing at all. Now, granted, these student athletes, they live a pretty good life still. But if there's a talented guy and he's wanting to, if some company says, we want you to do an autograph deal, we want you to maybe do a commercial, why not? Let it be. And it's going to be more exposure. It's going to be more fun. It's a great thing. I think it's a good thing for BYU. I think it's a good thing for college football. I think it's a good thing for college athletics. And I'm very excited to see what direction this goes in. But with the NCAA, though, I never know what twist and turn they're going to make this thing go into. So it sounds good right now, but we'll obviously stay tuned with all the latest that's going to happen with that situation moving forward in the future. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. It's always powered by KSLSports.com. Make sure to subscribe, leave a rating and a review for the podcast. It helps out the show a ton. And we'll be back tomorrow discussing the latest in the world of BYU football and basketball as the Cougar football team gets ready for the Aggies and BYU continues preparations for their season tip-off. This has been the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
Composure when I scream at the chauffeur. I ain't mean, I'm just focused. Put a lean out slower. Got us clean out of soda. Before the flood, people judge. They did the same thing to Noah.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.